This is KBOO Portland. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories, which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com. Also, this program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Oregon Country Fair, July 7th, 8th, and 9th, featuring music, food, and crafts in Vineta, Oregon. Excuse me. Admission and parking tickets are available only at Tickets West, as absolutely no tickets will be sold at the fair site. For directions and information on how to... For directions and information on how to take Amtrak to this drug and alcohol-free event, the number is 1-800-992-8499 or OregonCountryFair.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
The Pentagon has decided that they will use only psychologists to participate on their BISCIT teams, the teams, the mental health professional teams that facilitate interrogations at Guantanamo Bay. They chose psychologists because the American Psychiatric Association decided that it was unethical for psychiatrists to participate on those teams.
Should doctors, psychiatrists, and psychologists participate in military interrogations? Today, a debate. We speak with a member of the American Psychological Association calling on the group to take a stand against the practice. We'll also speak with the APA president, Gerald Kucher, as well as a psychiatrist who's a retired brigadier general in the Army Medical Corps. But first, a federal judge in Brooklyn has ruled the government can legally detain non-citizens on the sole basis of their religion, race, or national origin, and then detain them indefinitely. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A suicide bomber struck a Shiite mosque in Baghdad earlier today, killing at least 10 people. The attack comes as the Iraqi capital is under one of the biggest security crackdowns since the start of the invasion. Meanwhile, the Pentagon announced Thursday the U.S. death toll in Iraq has now passed 2,500. The milestone was reached on the same day the Iraq war was the subject of intense debate in both houses of Congress. In the Senate, lawmakers voted 93-6 against a measure to withdraw U.S. troops by the end of the year. The measure was introduced by Republicans who claimed to be acting on a proposal by Senator John Kerry. Five Democrats, Russ Feingold of Wisconsin, Barbara Boxer of California, Robert Byrd of West Virginia, Tom Harkin of Iowa, and Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, joined Kerry in voting for withdrawal. The House is expected to vote on its own Iraq resolution today. On Thursday, Republican Speaker Dennis Hastert urged lawmakers to support the measure.
They know their sacrifices on foreign shores are keeping the battle against terrorists out of our cities. They know that by going into harm's way, they are keeping Americans safe. And they know that they are helping a proud and but brutalized people to throw off tyranny and stand tall once again. They know that they are liberators, not occupiers. Our men and women in uniform know all this, and they are proud of it. It's time for this House of Representatives to tell the world that we know it too, that we know our cause is right, and that we are proud of it. Stand up for freedom. Adopt this resolution.
Democrats have accused Republicans of constraining debate by focusing the measure on the so-called war on terror rather than the Iraq war. House rules also prevent Democrats from proposing amendments or alternative resolutions. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi voiced the Democrats' concerns.
The entire country is debating the war in Iraq, except the House of Representatives. So finally, this debate is going to come to the floor. And then a little while within the past week, they said, well, it's going to be about this and that and other things as well, because they know that the case against this war is so incriminating that they really shouldn't really want to bring it to the floor. So they've now expanded what the debate will be about.
House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Meanwhile, the Iraqi government has announced a leading official has asked the U.S. for a timeline for the withdrawal of foreign troops. The government says Vice President Tariq al-Hashimi made the request during a meeting with President Bush Tuesday. In a statement, President Jalal Talabani said he supports Hashimi's demand. The Bush administration has firmly rejected calls for a timetable for withdrawal. In Somalia, the UN's top official for emergency aid is warning ongoing fighting between Islamic militants and U.S.-backed warlords is augmenting an already dire humanitarian crisis. This is UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Ihan Eglind.
We are seeking humanitarian access to Mogadishu, which we do not have at the moment, which we have not had for a long time. There is a quarter of a million internally displaced in Mogadishu. It's the only capital on earth where we do not have international humanitarian assistance at the moment.
That was UN Emergency Relief Coordinator Jan Eglund. In Mexico, thousands of striking teachers converged in the center of the city of Oaxaca Thursday. The teachers are in the third week of a strike demanding higher wages and more funding for Mexico's education system. The gathering came just one day after a police raid that teachers say killed two of their members and a third child. In response, the teachers said they would now call for the resignation of State Governor Ulises Ruiz. This is striking teacher Hildo Sanchez.
We don't trust the government now. With all the people's support and the organizations, we're here taking over the Zócalo again. And we'll stay here until Ulises Ruiz responds to our demands and punishes the guilty, the police officers.
Hermenegildo Sanchez, one of the striking teachers in Oaxaca. In the occupied territories, Hamas is renewing calls for a ceasefire with Israel. The overture comes just days after Hamas called off its previous ceasefire following the deadly bombing of a Gaza beach that Palestinians and human rights groups have blamed on Israel. This is Hamas spokesperson Ghazi Hamad.
From the beginning of this government, we repeated this call many times that we are ready to accept ceasefire from both sides. That Israeli side should stop all the operations and aggression in the West Bank and Gaza. But till now, there are no signals or indication from the Israeli side that they are ready to accept this. We hope that this time they can accept it and we can start a new situation, a new bit.
Ghazi Hamad, a spokesperson for Hamas. In Brussels, protesters with Amnesty International gathered outside a meeting of European leaders to demonstrate against what they called European complicity in CIA-backed torture. A recent Council of Europe report concluded 14 European countries have been involved in or complicit in secret CIA operations since the September 11th attacks. This is Amnesty International's Dick Oosting.
We have indicated seven European countries that have been involved in this. Four of them are members of the European Union. And that's Italy, it's Germany, it's United Kingdom, and it's Sweden. Turkey, Macedonia, and Bosnia have also been implicated. So these governments must do a proper investigation. They've refused to do that so far. These governments must take measures so that foreign intelligence agencies like the CIA can no longer operate with impunity on their territory.
Back in the United States, the Supreme Court has ruled the Constitution does not require prosecutors to forfeit evidence obtained through so-called no-knock illegal searches. The 5-4 vote will strengthen police abilities to enter residences without announcing themselves first. The court ruled the social costs of throwing out illegally obtained evidence outweighed the benefits of protecting previous safeguards. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Stephen Breyer wrote, quote, "The majority's substantial social costs argument is an argument against the Fourth Amendment's exclusionary principle itself, and it's an argument that this court, until now, has consistently rejected." The American Civil Liberties Union has launched a lawsuit demanding the Pentagon turn over information it's collected on anti-war groups. In December, NBC News revealed the existence of a secret Pentagon database to track intelligence gathered inside the United States, including information on anti-war protests and rallies. The database included information on counter-military recruiting meetings held at a Quaker meeting house in Florida and anti-nuclear protests staged in Nebraska. The ACLU has already filed against the FBI for spying on peace groups. In New Orleans, officials have announced plans to tear down much of the city's public housing. The units suffered extensive damage during Hurricane Katrina. Rebuilding plans call for much of the public housing to be replaced by mixed-income units. The move will greatly reduce the number of available public housing units in New Orleans. Just 1,000 of more than 5,000 families who lived in public housing have been able to return to their homes since Katrina struck last August. Curtis Muhammad, a housing advocate with the People's Organizing Committee, criticized the plan, saying, quote, "These are the people who were left in New Orleans to die, who were locked up in the Superdome and the Convention Center, and now the government wants to get rid of any housing for them," he said. And today marks the 30th anniversary of the Soweto Uprising. On June 16, 1976, hundreds of black South African school children rose up to protest the compulsory teaching of the Afrikaans language. State security forces killed at least 23 people, the first of hundreds to die in the uprising that spread across the country, what became a pivotal event for the anti-apartheid struggle. The anniversary has been marked earlier today with a march through central Soweto, led by President Thabo Mbeki. Thousands of marchers followed the same route taken by demonstrators 30 years ago. They passed a memorial honoring the slain activist Hector Peterson. He was 13 years old when he was killed by South African police, making him the first and youngest student to die in the Soweto uprising. A picture showing a comrade tearing away his dead body went on to become a worldwide symbol of anti-apartheid struggle. Earlier this week, Nelson Mandela reflected on Peterson's death.
Oh, many of you remember this picture.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the cruelties of the apartheid government. And in this way, it has now been immortalized. And we're very happy for that.
Former President Nelson Mandela of South Africa. He himself was imprisoned for 27 years. Those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.